Unit 2, The National Government. Chapter 6, The Legislative Branch. Chapter 7, The Executive Branch. Chapter 8, The Judicial Branch. Be an active citizen. The Constitution states that the power in government lies with the people. In our federal system of government, the executive, legislative, and judicial branches share the responsibility of governing the nation. Read about your responsibilities as a citizen in preparing to vote for officials who express your point of view. Reading Social Studies. Finding the main idea. 1. Learn it. Main ideas are the most important ideas in a paragraph, section, or chapter. Supporting details are facts or examples that explain the main idea. Read the paragraph below. Notice how the main idea is identified. The sentences that follow are the supporting details. Main idea. Our Constitution explains not only what Congress may do, but also what it may not do. Supporting details. Some limitations are imposed by the Bill of Rights. The purpose of the Bill of Rights was to limit or deny certain powers to the federal government. For example, Congress may not pass laws that restrict freedom of speech or ban freedom of religion. From page 188. Practice it. Read the paragraph. Draw a graphic organizer like the one below to show the main idea and supporting details. People contribute to their communities in countless ways, working independently or as part of volunteer groups, both large and small. Perhaps you know a mom or dad who is active in the PTA, Parent-Teacher Association, or leads a scout troop. Your friends and you might spend a Saturday cleaning up a highway or preparing holiday baskets for needy families. Retirees mentor school children, record books for the blind, and lead museum tours. 3. Apply it. Identify one main idea and its supporting details for Chapter 7, Section 2, Chapter 8, Section 3. Chapter 6. The Legislative Branch. Why it matters. Our nation's Constitution gives the power to make laws to the legislative branch. Citizens participate in the lawmaking process by expressing their views to Congress. Find out what legislation is pending in Congress and your representatives' positions on the issues. Do you agree with your representatives? Big ideas. Section 1. How Congress is organized. The Constitution gives the legislative branch, Congress, the power to make laws. In Congress, members of each party select their own leaders and work mainly in committees to carry out their duties. Section 2. Powers of Congress. The Constitution gives the legislative branch, Congress, the power to make laws. While the Constitution limits the powers of Congress, it also gives Congress the powers it needs to conduct its business and to accomplish its goals. Section 3. Representing the people. The Constitution gives the legislative branch, Congress, the power to make laws. Congress employs many staffers who help with the workload. Section 4. How a bill becomes a law. The Constitution gives the legislative branch, Congress, the power to make laws. Several complex steps are involved in taking an idea and turning it into a law. Section 1. How Congress is organized. Real world civics. Politics in Illinois, the heartland of America, are the same as everywhere else in the country. Members of Congress speak to and listen to the people they represent so they can do their jobs in Washington. Here, as a senator, Barack Obama speaks to constituents at a town hall meeting in Carrollton, Illinois. Members of Congress meet with their constituents to find out how they feel about important issues. A bicameral legislature. Main idea. Congress is the legislative or lawmaking branch of government. Civics and you. What type of person would you choose to represent you in government? Read to find out how congressional leadership is determined. The framers wanted to establish a congressional voting body, but one of the conflicts at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 concerned state representation. While delegates from the smaller states wanted equal representation, delegates from the larger states wanted representation to be based on population, which would give them a greater voice in government. As you will recall from Chapter 3, the Great Compromise established Congress as a two-part or bicameral body. In the upper house, the Senate, each state would have an equal number of representatives, two. In the lower house, the House of Representatives, each state's population would determine its representation. The framers of the U.S. Constitution intended to make the legislative branch of government more powerful than any other branch. In fact, Congress is described in the first part of the Constitution, Article 1. As James Madison said, Congress is the first branch of this government. Every year, inside the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., 535 of our fellow citizens gather to make new laws and address countless issues facing our country. These are our elected representatives, the members of Congress. Terms of Congress. The government calendar is set by law. Each Congress lasts for a meeting period or a term of 2 years. Each term of Congress starts on January 3rd of odd-numbered years, unless a different day is appointed, and lasts for 2 years. Each new Congress is given a number to identify its 2-year term. For example, the first Congress met in 1789, and the 111th Congress is in session from January 2009 to January 2011. Congressional sessions. Each term of Congress is divided into 2 sessions or meetings. A typical session of Congress today lasts from January until November or December. Congress may also meet during special sessions or in times of crisis. A joint session occurs or takes place when the House and Senate meet together. The House of Representatives. The House of Representatives, the larger body of Congress, has 435 voting members allotted to the states according to population. The Constitution guarantees each state at least one representative, no matter how small its population. After each 10-year census or population count taken by the Census Bureau, Congress adjusts or changes the number of representatives given to each state. Representatives serve 2-year terms and usually focus on concerns in their districts. Congressional districts. Each state is divided into one or more congressional districts, with one representative elected from each district. State legislatures must draw the boundaries so that the districts include roughly the same number of constituents or people represented. Sometimes states abuse this process by gerrymandering. A gerrymander is an oddly shaped district designed to increase the voting strength of a particular group. Laws have reduced, but not eliminated, gerrymandering. For example, if most of a state's representatives are Republican, they might draw the lines so that as many districts as possible have more Republican than Democratic voters. The Senate. The Senate has 100 members, 2 from each of the 50 states. Each senator represents his or her entire state rather than a particular district. Senators serve 6-year terms, but the elections are staggered so that no more than 1/3 of the senators are up for re-election at any one time. This ensures a certain amount of stability and continuity. If a senator dies or resigns before the end of the term, the state legislature may authorize the governor to appoint someone to fill the vacancy until the next election. Leaders in Congress. In both the House and the Senate, the political party to which more than half the members belong is known as the majority party. The other party is called the minority party. At the beginning of each term, the party members in each house choose leaders to direct their activities. In addition to these party leaders, each House of Congress has one overall leader. In the House of Representatives, this leader is the Speaker of the House. Members of the majority party choose the speaker at a caucus or closed meeting. The rest of the House then approves the choice of speaker. Role of the Speaker. As presiding officer of the House and the leader of the majority party, the Speaker has great power. The Speaker steers legislation through the House and leads floor debates, in which all representatives may participate. If anything happens to the President and Vice President, the Speaker is next in line to become President, provided he or she is legally qualified. Speakers rely on their powers of persuasion and the power of their positions to exercise influence. On a typical day, the speaker may talk with dozens of members of Congress. Often the speaker does this just to listen to requests for a favor. The speaker, though, expects something in return: the representative's support on important issues. Congressional leadership. Leadership in the Senate closely parallels leadership in the House, but the Senate has no speaker. The Vice President presides in the Senate, but may only vote to break a tie. The President pro tempore, meaning for the time being, usually acts as chairperson of the Senate. He or she is from the majority party and is usually its most senior member. Other powerful leaders are the floor leaders. The majority and minority floor leaders in each house speak for their parties on issues, push bills along, and try to sway votes. Party whips help the floor leaders. They make sure legislators are present for key votes. Reading check, identifying. Which article of the Constitution describes Congress? Committee work. Main idea. Much of the actual work of legislating is performed by committees and subcommittees within Congress. Civics and you. Have you served on a committee? What are their advantages and disadvantages? Read to find out about congressional committees. Each House of Congress must consider thousands of bills or proposed laws in the course of a session. To make it possible to handle so many bills at one time, each House has developed a system of committees. Congressional committees. Congress has three types of committees: standing committees, select committees, and joint committees. Standing committees are permanent committees. For example, both the Senate and the House have standing committees to deal with agriculture, commerce, and veterans affairs. The House and Senate sometimes form temporary committees to deal with special issues. These select committees meet for a limited time until they complete their assigned task. Occasionally, the Senate and the House form joint committees, which include members of both houses. Joint committees meet to consider specific issues. Committee assignments. When senators and representatives first come to Congress, they try to get assigned to important committees that affect the people who elected them. For example, members of Congress from farm areas might want to serve on agriculture committees. Those with many factories in their districts might be interested in serving on labor committees. What is the seniority system? Party leaders make committee assignments. In doing so, they consider members' preferences, expertise, and loyalty to the party. Another key factor is seniority, or years of service. The senators and representatives who have been in Congress longest usually get the preferred committee spots. The longest-serving committee member from the majority party traditionally becomes chairperson. Chairpersons decide when and if a committee will meet, what bills will be studied, and who will serve on which subcommittees. Some people think the seniority system is a good idea. They say it prevents fights over committee jobs and ensures that chairpersons will have experience. Other people complain that talented people may be overlooked in favor of those who have simply been around for a while. There has been so much criticism of the seniority system over the years that both political parties have moved slightly away from it. The senior majority party member on a committee still usually wins the role of chairperson, but it is no longer guaranteed. Reading check, explaining. What is the difference between a standing committee and a select committee? Financial literacy. What is a lemon law? You save money for your first car and you find a great deal. From the beginning, however, problems start. It stalls at traffic lights. You take it in for a repair. In most cases, the manufacturer's warranty will provide the coverage you need to have your car repaired at no cost to you. However, what if your car spends more time in the repair shop than on the road? In some cases, the dealer may be unable to fix your car's problem. Did you get a lemon? What is a lemon? A lemon is a vehicle that has a defect that the dealer has not fixed within a reasonable number of chances. State lemon laws. State lemon laws provide some protection. In most states, to qualify as a lemon, the problem has to be serious enough that it substantially impairs the use, value, or safety of the vehicle, and the vehicle has not been properly repaired within a reasonable number of attempts. In North Carolina, for example, this reasonable number is 4 attempts, or if the car has been out of service awaiting repair for a total of 20 or more business days during any 12-month period of the warranty. Most state lemon laws stipulate that a manufacturer must provide a refund or replacement for a defective new vehicle when a substantial defect cannot be fixed. Checklist for buying a vehicle. Your best protection against a lemon happens before you buy. These tips will help you. Have a reliable technician thoroughly inspect the vehicle, whether it is new or used. Check what is covered by the service warranty. A used car may still be covered under the original manufacturer's warranty. Also, some dealers offer their own limited warranties for used cars. Check various dealers for the reputation of their service departments. Your warranty usually allows you to take your car to any dealer selling that make of car. Section 2. Powers of Congress. Real-world civics. Who represents the people of America and protects their safety around the world? Congress. Powers granted to Congress by Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution include the ability to raise an army and a navy and to declare war. All men between the ages of 18 and 25 are required to register for military service, even though there is currently no active draft. Many young men and women choose to enlist voluntarily in the military, which makes the draft unnecessary. Legislative powers. Main idea. The Constitution provides that all powers to make laws for the United States government shall be given to Congress. civics, and you. Did you know that no government agency can spend money without the approval of Congress? Read to find out about the legislative powers of Congress. Most of the powers delegated to the Congress are enumerated or clearly listed in Article 1, Section 8. These are called expressed powers. There are 18 separate clauses enumerating different powers specifically given to Congress. Clause 5, for example, says, "The Congress shall have the power to coin money." Certain powers are given to the national government even though they are not expressly presented in the Constitution. Their constitutional basis is found in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, which states that Congress shall have the power to do whatever is necessary and proper to carry out the expressed powers. The powers that Congress has because of Clause 18 are called implied powers because they are not stated explicitly in the Constitution. Clause 18 is often called the elastic clause because it has allowed Congress to stretch its powers to meet new needs. For instance, you will not find the power to create an Air Force written in the Constitution. However, the elastic clause has allowed Congress to do so as part of its expressed powers to support armies. Most of Congress's powers are related to making laws. Some of the most important legislative powers involve raising and spending money, regulating or managing commerce, and dealing with foreign countries. Reading check, explaining. Why is the necessary and proper clause also called the elastic clause? Non-legislative powers. Main idea. The Constitution gives Congress a number of non-legislative duties. Civics and you. Has a friend ever asked you to check over something after it was completed? Congress often checks over other departments of government as part of its non-legislative powers. As the legislative branch, the most important duty of Congress is to make laws. Congress also holds a number of duties besides lawmaking. Among Congress's most important non-legislative powers are those it uses to check the other branches of government. Some of these are set forth in the Constitution. Others have been developed over time. One such power is to propose amendments to the Constitution. The Senate has the power to approve or reject the President's nominees for various offices, including Supreme Court justices, federal judges, and ambassadors. The Constitution also allows Congress to remove from office any federal official who has committed serious wrongdoing. The House has the sole authority to impeach or accuse officials of misconduct in office. If a majority of the House votes to impeach a public official, the Senate then has the power to hold a trial and to act as a jury and decide the official's guilt or innocence. A two-thirds vote is necessary to convict and to remove a person from office. The House uses its impeachment power sparingly, most often with federal judges. Only two presidents have been impeached, Andrew Johnson in 1868 and Bill Clinton in 1998. Both presidents were tried by the Senate and acquitted. They were not removed from office. Power limitations. Our Constitution explains not only what Congress may do, but also what it may not do. Some limitations are imposed by the Bill of Rights. The purpose of the Bill of Rights was to limit or deny certain powers to the federal government. For example, Congress may not pass laws that restrict freedom of speech or ban freedom of religion. According to Article 1 of the Constitution, Congress may not favor one state over another, tax interstate commerce, or tax exports. Article 1 also forbids Congress from enacting laws that would interfere with the legal rights of individuals. Congress cannot suspend the writ of habeas corpus. This is a court order that requires police to bring a prisoner to court to explain why they are holding the person. Congress is also banned from passing bills of attainder or laws that punish a person without a jury trial. Further, Congress may not pass ex post facto laws. These are laws that make an act a crime after the act has been committed. The Constitution also reserves many powers for the states. Congress cannot interfere with these powers, such as the right to regulate public school systems. The Bill of Rights and other amendments also deny Congress certain powers. Checks and balances. Other restrictions come from the Constitution's system of checks and balances. The Supreme Court can declare laws established by Congress as unconstitutional. The President can veto bills passed by Congress before they become laws. If both houses of Congress can muster a two-thirds vote, they can override the President's action. Reading check. Concluding. How does the Bill of Rights limit Congress's powers? Issues to debate. Does a public library have the right to censor Internet information? In its early stages of development, the Internet raised a number of issues. Hackers can access private information. Many people are concerned about spyware, adware, and offensive sites. Congress first addressed the issue of offensive Internet sites in the Communications Decency Act of 1996. The Supreme Court ruled that law an unconstitutional violation of free speech. In December 2000, Congress passed the Children's Internet Protection Act, CIPA, CIPA, to address concerns about access to offensive Internet content on school and library computers. Almost immediately, civil liberties groups challenged the law. Yes. In 2003, the Supreme Court ruled that the Children's Internet Protection Act was constitutional. The act allows the federal government to withhold funds from schools and public libraries that do not have a safety policy to block or filter Internet access to pictures that A. are obscene, or B. are harmful to minors, for computers are accessed by minors. Chief Justice Rehnquist wrote, "A library's need to exercise judgment in making collection decisions depends on its traditional role in identifying suitable and worthwhile material. It is no less entitled to play that role when it collects material from the Internet than when it collects material from any other source." William Rehnquist, October 2002. No. One interest group that opposed the new law was the Online Policy Group, Incorporated. It filed a Friend of the Court brief with the Supreme Court during the CIPA case. The group said that blocking of information was similar to prior restraint because it allowed pre-publication censorship and gave local officials the authority to make such judgments. Indeed, commercial blocking software is even more troubling because it effectively delegates censorship decisions to private individuals who have no obligation to uphold the Constitution or narrowly tailor, fit, their censorship to comply with the First Amendment. Brief of Amici Curiae Online Policy Group, Incorporated, 2002. Section 3. Representing the People. Real World Civics. Shake Up in the Halls of Congress. The results of the 2006 national election made it possible for the first woman Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi of California, to lead the 110th Congress in 2007. Also, after 12 years of Republican control, in 2007, the Democrats held majorities in both the House of Representatives and the Senate. This Democratic hold on Congress, however, was only by a narrow margin. The Democrats did not have enough votes to override President George W. Bush's vetoes of their legislation, and the president did not have enough Republican votes to carry out his legislative plans. It was apparent that little would be accomplished until after the 2008 elections. Qualifications and privileges. Main idea. The Constitution sets forth the qualifications for election to the House and to the Senate. Civics and you. Have you applied for a job? What set of qualifications did you need for the job? Read to find out about the qualifications for Congress. Each American is represented by a congressperson and two senators. Many others help these elected representatives. Thousands of people work full-time for Congress, keeping the wheels of government turning. Qualifications. The legal qualifications for our congressional representatives are spelled out in the Constitution. To run for senator, you must be at least 30 years old, live in the state you plan to represent, and have been a U.S. citizen for at least 9 years before being elected. Members of the House of Representatives must be at least 25 years old, live in the state they represent, and have been a U.S. citizen for at least 7 years before being elected. Makeup of Congress. The members of Congress have more in common than legal qualifications. Nearly half are lawyers. Almost all have college degrees. They also tend to be joiners. Members of Congress are more likely than the average citizen to be active in community organizations. Salary. Members of Congress receive an annual salary, currently $169,300, for both senators and representatives. Further, they receive free office space, parking, and trips to their home states. Senators and representatives can send job-related mail without paying postage. This is called the franking privilege. Members of Congress also have low-cost life insurance and the use of a gymnasium, special restaurants, and a medical clinic. Other privileges. The Constitution also grants senators and representatives immunity or legal protection in certain situations. This allows them to say and do what they believe is right without fear of interference from outsiders. The guarantee of immunity does not mean that members of Congress are free to break the law. Behind-the-scene helpers. Serving in Congress is a full-time job. To get help with their workload, members of Congress hire a staff of clerks, secretaries, and special assistants. Personal staff. The personal staffs of members of Congress run offices in Washington, D.C., as well as one or more offices in the congressional member's home district. Why are personal staffs needed? These workers gather information on new bills and issues. They handle requests for help from voters. They deal with news reporters and lobbyists, people hired by private groups to influence government decision-makers. They also work for the re-election of the congressional member, even though the law requires them to do this on their own time. In addition to professional staffers, many members of Congress hire students from their home states or districts to serve as interns and pages. Interns typically help with research and office duties. Pages deliver messages and run other errands. This experience gives young people a first-hand look at the political process. One former congressional intern commented, "I felt like I had a backstage pass to the greatest show in the world." Committee staff. Congressional committees also need staffs. Committee staff members do many of the various day-to-day lawmaking chores of Congress. They draft or outline bills, gather information, organize committee hearings, and negotiate with lobbyists. In short, they keep the long and complex or difficult lawmaking process moving. Support services. Congress has created several agencies to support its work. The Library of Congress is one of the largest libraries in the world. Did you know that one copy of every book published in the United States is kept there? The Library of Congress is an important source of information for members of Congress and their staffs. Finance and budget. The General Accounting Office, GAO, is the investigative arm of Congress in financial issues. It reviews the spending activities of federal agencies, studies federal programs, and recommends ways to improve the financial performance of the government. The Congressional Budget Office, CBO, provides Congress with information and analysis for making budgetary decisions. It makes no policy recommendations, but rather estimates or guesses the costs and possible economic effects of programs. It also helps Congress come up with and stick to a budget plan. Reading check, explaining, why are members of Congress granted some immunity? Congress at work. Main idea. The 535 members of Congress have several different but closely related roles. Civics and you. What do you think is the most important work for members of Congress? Read on to find out about the three major jobs of Congress. The basic job of senators and representatives is to represent the people of their states and districts. They are responsible for reflecting and translating into action their constituents' interests and concerns. Congress does its work in regular time periods or sessions that begin each January 3rd and continue through most of the year. Lawmaking. In carrying out the responsibility of representing the people of their states and districts, members of Congress perform three major jobs. Making laws is perhaps the best-known task of Congress. Congress considers several different kinds of legislation each year. Most pieces of legislation are in the form of bills. Bills are drafts of laws presented to the House and Senate for enactment. Members of the Senate and the House of Representatives write and introduce bills, take part in committee work, listen to the input of people for and against a bill, and then vote on the floor of the House or Senate. You will learn more about this process in Section 4 of this chapter. Casework. Members of Congress often act as troubleshooters for people from their home districts and states who request help in dealing with a federal government. This help is called casework. Over the course of a year, some congressional offices receive as many as 10,000 requests for information or services. What drives representatives to help their constituents? Senator Olympia Snow of Maine explains, "Out of my experience in life has grown a conviction that no pursuit is as valuable as or worthier than the simple idea of helping others, of enabling individuals to improve their lives, to soften the hardest days and brighten the darkest." Olympia Snow quoted in Nine and Counting, The Women of the Senate. Most requests for help are handled by the senator's or representative's office staff. If a staffer cannot get results, the senator or representative usually steps in. Senator Dianne Feinstein of California said, "It's one of the most important things we do. We respond to constituents. I insist on responding promptly, because it's a matter of accountability to our constituency." Dianne Feinstein quoted in Nine and Counting, The Women of the Senate. Why do lawmakers spend so much of their time on casework? First, casework helps lawmakers to get reelected. Helping voters increases popular support. Second, casework helps lawmakers get a closer look at how well the executive branch is handling programs such as Social Security or veterans' benefits. Third, casework provides a way to help average citizens deal with federal agencies. Helping the district or state. Besides providing services for their constituents, members of Congress also try to bring federal government projects and money to their districts and states. Lawmakers do this in several ways. Public Works. Every year through Public Works bills, Congress appropriates billions of dollars for a variety of local projects. These projects might include things such as post offices, dams, military bases, veterans' hospitals, and mass transit system projects. Such government projects can bring jobs and money into a state or district. Grants and contracts. Lawmakers also try to make sure their districts or states get their fair share of the available federal grants and contracts, which are funded through the federal budget. Federal grants and contracts are very important to lawmakers and their districts or states. These contracts are a crucial source of money and jobs and can greatly affect the economy of a state. All members of Congress work to give their constituents a share in the money the national government spends every year. A contract to make army uniforms, for example, might mean lots of money for a local business. Government projects and grants that primarily benefit the home district or state are known as pork barrel projects. To understand this term, think of a member of Congress dipping into the pork barrel, the federal treasury, and pulling out a piece of fat, a federal project for his or her district. Using influence. Lawmakers do not have direct control over grants and contracts. Instead, agencies of the executive branch, such as the Department of Labor, award federal grants and contracts. Lawmakers, however, may try to influence agency decisions. They may pressure agency officials to give a favorable hearing to their state's requests. Lawmakers may also encourage their constituents to contact agency officials in order to make their needs known. Reading check. Describing. What are the three major jobs of a congressperson? Section 4. How a bill becomes a law. Real-world civics. For most of our nation's history, African Americans throughout the South were prevented from voting by local officials. President Lyndon B. Johnson had assured Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that he would push for a Voting Rights Act in time. In March of 1965, Dr. King decided to change things himself by marching from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, demanding the right to vote. When Dr. King's original 600 marchers reached Montgomery, they had become 25,000 strong. Less than 5 months later, President Johnson signed a law assuring every citizen the right to vote. Passing laws such as the Voting Rights Act is one of Congress's most important roles. Bills Congress considers. Main idea. Congress considers several different kinds of legislation each year. Most pieces of legislation are in the form of bills. Civics and you. How do you think Congress should make decisions about bills? What factors should have the greatest influence on its decision-making? Have you heard people say there are two things you should never watch being made? Sausages and laws? Strange elements or factors may go into the final product, and the process requires patience. More than 10,000 bills are often introduced during each term of Congress. yet only several hundred pass all the hurdles and become law. Bills generally fall into two categories or types. Private bills concerned individual people or places. They usually deal with people's claims against the government. Public bills apply to the entire nation and involve general matters such as taxation. Along with bills, Congress considers different kinds of resolutions or formal statements expressing lawmakers' opinions or decisions. Many resolutions do not have the force of law. Joint resolutions, however, which are passed by both houses of Congress, do become laws if signed by the president. Congress uses joint resolutions to propose constitutional amendments and to designate money for a special purpose. Reading check, analyzing. Why might public bills take months to debate? From bill to law. Main idea. To become a law, a bill must be passed in identical form by both chambers of Congress. Civics and you. As a bill is considered, both houses of Congress keep a check on it. Read to find out why the houses must agree on each law. Every bill starts with an idea. The ideas for new bills come from private citizens, the White House, or from special interest groups, organizations made up of people with common interests. Whatever its source, a senator or representative must introduce a bill before Congress will consider it. Every bill is given a title and a number when it is submitted. For example, during the first session of Congress, the first bill introduced is called S1 in the Senate and HR1 in the House. Committee action. After a bill is introduced, it is sent to the standing committee that is related to the subject of the bill. Standing committees have life and death power over bills. The committee can 1. Pass the bill, 2. Mark up a bill with changes and suggest that it be passed, 3. Replace the original bill with a new bill, 4. Ignore the bill and let it die, which is called pigeonholing the bill, or 5. Kill the bill outright by majority vote. Debating a bill. Bills approved in committee are ready for consideration by the full House or Senate. When bills do reach the floor of the House or Senate, the members argue their pros and cons and discuss amendments. The House accepts only amendments relevant to the bill. The Senate, however, allows riders, completely unrelated amendments, to be tacked onto the bill. Rules of debate. In the House, the Rules Committee sets the terms for debate. It usually puts time limits on the discussion, for example, to speed up action. The Senate, because it is smaller, has fewer rules. Senators can speak as long as they wish. At times, they take advantage of this custom to filibuster or talk a bill to death. One member can speak, holding the floor for hour after hour, delaying a vote until the bill's sponsor withdraws the measure. The Senate can end a filibuster if 3/5 of the members vote for cloture. Under this procedure, no one may speak for more than 1 hour. Senators rarely resort to cloture, though. In 1964, during debate on the Civil Rights Act, the Senate waited out a 74-day filibuster by senators opposed to the legislation. Reading check. Speculating. What is a rider to a bill? Why do you think senators attach riders to bills?
Voting on a bill. After a bill is debated, it is brought to a vote. Voting in the House is done in one of three ways. The simplest is a voice vote, in which those in favor say yea and those against say no. The speaker determines which side has the most voice votes. In a standing vote, those in favor of a bill stand to be counted, and then those against it stand to be counted. The third method is a recorded vote, in which members' votes are recorded electronically. The Senate has three methods of voting: a voice vote, a standing vote, and a roll call. In a roll call vote, senators respond aye or no as their names are called. A simple majority of all members that are present is needed to pass a bill. If a bill passes in one house, it is sent to the other. If either the Senate or the House rejects a bill, it dies. The Senate and House must pass a bill in identical form before it becomes law. When two versions of the same bill are passed, a conference committee with members from both houses work out the differences and submit a revised bill. The House and Senate must either accept it without amendments or completely reject it. Action by the President. After a bill is approved, it goes to the President. One of four things may then happen. The President may sign the bill and declare it a new law. The President may veto or refuse to sign the bill. The President may also do nothing for 10 days. At that point, if Congress is in session, the bill becomes law without the President's signature. If Congress has adjourned, the bill dies. Killing legislation in this way is called a pocket veto. If the President vetoes a bill, Congress has one last chance to save it. As you read earlier, Congress can override the veto with a 2/3 vote of each House. This is not an easy task, though. From 1789 through May 2008, Congress overturned only 108 vetoes. Reading check, explaining. When is a conference committee formed and what is its purpose?